We're starting this new series called Built, and we're going to talk about the foundations of life and of church and of marriage and of family. It reminds me of this couple that had made it to 60 years. They had been married for 60 years, and the family gathered together, and the husband stood up. He's way on in his 80s now, and he said, after 60 years, he said, I have found you to be tried and true. And the sister said, his wife said, what did you say? He said, after 60 years, I have found you to be tried and true. She said, what did you say? He said, after 60 years, I have found you to be tried and true. She said, after 60 years, I'm tired of you too, buddy. Come on. But how many of you know you can build your life on Jesus Christ? If you know it, holler one time, shout one time. All right, I want to talk to you about being built. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul's writing to the Corinthians church, and he said, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. Then he said, and even now you are still not able, for you are still, somebody say still, you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul. And another one says, I am of Apollos. He said, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? And who is Jim Raley? And who is Jensen Franklin? Come on, somebody. And who is all these great preachers that we know? Kevin Wallace, who are they? He said, but ministers to whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. He said, I planted Apollos waters. Watch this. But God gave the increase. Yes, he did. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are in God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation, no other foundation, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through the fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? How many of you believe that today? So I declare over you today, precious, that this walk with the Lord is not temporary. I declare over you that this thing is going to see you, young person, all the way to heaven. I declare that we're not backsliding, because we ain't got nothing to slide back to. Come on. How many of you are building your life on Jesus Christ? If that's you, make a little noise in the room right now. Slip up your hands. I want to talk about being built to last. Father, I pray today, God, that we would tap into foundational living, that we would find our lives built on you, Jesus. We trust you and we thank you. Somebody give the Lord the ovation of the morning. Come on, give him a shout. Is that a shout? Give him a shout. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I love Paul's writing to the Corinthians because he talks about a foundation. And I want to tell you today that when building a house or a structure, nothing, and I mean nothing, is more important than the foundation. Everything rests on right foundations, and it all fails and falls on wrong foundation. Paul here is very intentional about letting the church at Corinth know there is no other foundation. There's nothing that you can build on but that which has already been laid, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you are building your life on Jesus today? Anybody? Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church that he founded in a town or a city called Corinth. And Corinth was a very impressive city. It was a wealthy city, a large city, with a population of about 700,000 at its peak, which would have been huge for those days. It was wealthy, it was affluent, but it was incredibly immoral. It was a place of philosophy and higher learning, but it was incredibly immoral and unrighteousness and full of unrighteousness. They had a temple there that they had dedicated to Aphrodite, and she was the goddess of war, but also the goddess of love and fertility. And there was a massive temple built that overlooked the city. So imagine it's about 1,900 feet up, and you look down over the city from the temple, but when you looked up, you saw the temple that was built to Aphrodite. And there was 1,000 temple prostitutes, they called them sacred temple prostitutes, who served in that temple every day. It was an immoral city. There was a phrase that was coined in those days throughout the entire Roman Empire, and it basically, in our terminology, it was said, you've been Corinthicized. It literally means that you're being so immoral, you're behaving like a citizen of Corinth. And in fact, the name Corinth is... It kind of tells on itself. The name Corinth literally means satiated. And if you define satiated, satiated means to completely satisfy yourself, especially with food or pleasure, to the point that you could not even want anymore or have anymore. This was the atmosphere of Corinth. And y'all, in many ways, that is the atmosphere of Florida. It's the atmosphere of Central Florida. We have bike week. We have spring break. We have the races. We have the parties. We have people that come here for vacation, and they come here and they get involved in immorality and unrighteousness. But God awakened a church in Corinth. This church had a mighty influence in that city because God raised it up. It's very powerful to me that Corinth is a lot like Daytona and Ormond Beach and Palm Coast and Orlando. It's a lot like this part of Florida, but God raised a church right up in Corinth. And if he did it in Corinth, he can do it in Daytona. He can do it in Orlando. Maybe it seems like hell is doing all that it can, but Romans 5 says this, where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And I've come to let the devil know that there is a point of resistance at 1687 West Granada Boulevard, and we don't care what the enemy is trying to perpetrate against this generation, against our city, and against our families. We are rising up and we are declaring what Jesus said. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Where sin does abound, grace. Somebody say grace. Where sin wins, grace is winning even more. That's what it means. And I'm going to tell you something, baby. Grace can never be outdone by sin. I got about 20 of you that believe it. I said grace will never be outdone by sin. That's great news right there. So in this atmosphere, Corinth is being built. And one of the ongoing challenges that Corinth was facing as a church was that the atmosphere of Corinth was trying to get into the church. Help me, Holy Spirit. The immorality and compromise and unrighteousness that was in Corinth was trying to get into the church, and the church had begun to compromise. And I'm telling you, some things never change, because the agenda of hell is to steal, perpetrate its agenda and get in the church. But I've come to let every devil know. I've come to let every agenda of hell know that we plead the blood of Jesus around all of our campuses, that the angels are encamped round about this place, that strong men are bound. Hallelujah. The Bible said, how can you take the spoils of the strong man unless you first bind him? So we bind every strong man in this city. We bind every demonic force in this city. We take authority over him, and we declare no satanic force influences this house. This house is a house of God. The atmosphere, the agendas of Corinth were trying to get in the church, and it was an intense situation. And unless the people built their lives as a whole and build their church on the foundation of Christ, watch this, they were doomed to fail. So Paul calls them out because he needs to call them up. I better say that again. Paul in love calls them out because he needs to call them up. And if you're watching anywhere around the world, if you're watching after the fact, if you have a leader that can't call you out, he will never be able to call you up. Come on now. If you have a leader that can't stand up and speak truth, he's not a leader. A leader in God's church that cannot speak truth in love is not a pastor, he's a puppet. And can I tell you this? I've seen a lot of leaders sell out the message, but in the name of Jesus, this message is not for sale. This pulpit is not for sale. Baby, it ain't even for rent. Can I get a witness in here? There were several challenges now that the Corinthian church faces, and the issue in this time is it's really foundational issues. And Paul said it like this. He said, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And they were attempting to build this mighty church in Corinth, but they were shifting and moving away from building it on Christ as the foundation. And unless they adjusted their course, they were doomed to fail. And I want to tell you something. I've seen a lot of the church in America trying to build on a foundation of money or social agendas or political agendas. All of that will fail. All of that will come and it will go. But when you build on Christ, the solid rock, baby, what you build will last. Now, if they did not adjust their course personally and as a church, they were in trouble. Now, I want to teach you some of the challenges that they had, and I want to start with Paul's straightforward rebuke. It's like Paul. Does anybody still believe? Let me ask you this. Did anybody ever get a spanking growing up? How many of you believe that we still need to have a few spankings every now and again? Nobody wants to say nothing. I'll tell you, in my house, we would spank. We kept it on the back end. But I'm telling you, there were times I spanked my children and I felt better. Come on, somebody. Sometimes I feel good. Call me up if your kid needs spanking. I might come over and spank him. No, I'm kidding. Paul literally takes this church to the woodshed, and he spanks them. And he said in 1 Corinthians 3:3, for you are still, somebody say still. Still carnal, yeah. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you. Now let's dive deep into this. He said, I can't speak to you as spiritual, but I gotta speak to you as carnal. For you are still carnal. Now, I want to tell you this. I've been leading in God's church for a long, long time. And I want to tell you, the most challenging believer to lead is the one who is presumably saved, yet still carnal. Carnal means fleshly. It means worldly. Do you know anybody that's fleshly or worldly, but they still come to church? I'm not telling you to quit coming to church, but the most challenging believers to lead are the ones who are saved but still carnal. They're saved, but they're not spiritual. A carnal Christian is the one who wants Jesus to be his Savior but not his Lord. A carnal Christian, they walk in the flesh. They're the first ones to cuss you out. It's quiet in here. They'll gossip. They get offended real easy. They're critical. They're full of compromise. They're immoral. Their flesh is ruling. They might dance in church, but it's basically the same dance that they did in the club on Friday night. There was this condition in Corinth. Paul said, you are full of strife, you're full of envy, you're full of divisions. And Paul identified this long before Facebook. I've seen many believers who sit in church and they seem so spiritual. Help me, Holy Ghost. But then you go to their Instagram or you go to their Facebook and you're like, who in the world is, y'all ain't saying nothing in here. They're ugly, they're divisive, and I'm telling you, your social media, I know some of y'all don't have it, but most of you do, it'll tell on you every time. Your social media will tell on you every time. And let me tell you something, elections are coming up, and I want you to understand that presidents run, but Jesus reigns. I need somebody to get... Y'all gonna sit around and be defeated about who's president when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is sitting on the throne. So don't get on your Facebook and start hollering and typing in caps. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And unfriending each other. Be more spiritual than that. Preach, apostle, come on. Pray about what you're going to vote for and let God speak to you and be obedient to the Lord. But at the end of the day, don't you allow the enemy to make you think that a political platform is greater than God's agenda in the earth. Jesus is the King. Now, Paul says, you are acting like babes in Christ. He said, you are a bunch of full-grown babies. He said, for you are still. Somebody say still. He said, after all this time, you're still a big bunch of babies. Still means you yet remain. It means you're stuck. It means you're unmoving. He said, you're still in the same place and in the same condition. You should have matured beyond where you are, but you're acting like a big old baby. Y'all don't want to shout, but I'm going to keep preaching. There's a time, y'all, when being a baby is beautiful. There's a time, don't y'all love the babies? You pick them up and they make you talk funny. Look at your money, come on, my day. And you just act out, and it's cute. And listen, they're burping on you. It's cute. You're patting them on the back, and when they burp, oh, listen to that. Good job. Way to go. When you're potty training them, listen, when we potty trained our children and they sat down and started pottying on the potty, we had camp meeting, brother. We had a praise service. We danced all around. And listen, it's a beautiful thing for a baby to be a baby when a baby is a baby. But if you're still taking the bottle and you've been saved for 20 years, help me, Holy Spirit. I don't mind giving a baby his bottle, but when I got to part his mustache to get the bottle in the mouth, something is wrong. And Paul said, it's not cute, it's a catastrophe. Some of y'all love your babies, but let me tell you something. If you're still burping Pookie at 20 years old, something is wrong. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. That's not cute, that's a catastrophe. Paul said, you ought to be eating meat, but all you want is milk. And much of today's church prefers milk over meat. They just give us the easy stuff, Apostle. Don't challenge us with meat. Don't challenge us in our life. Don't preach messages that cause us to rise or require us to grow. Don't say anything that would tell us we have to deny ourselves and swim against the tide. Don't tell us anything that would cause us to have to adjust our lifestyle or even our attitude. I love everybody. And I'm going to tell you, this church will give you milk when you need it. But I want you to understand that in this house, meat is going to stay on the menu. I have no intention of pastoring a bunch of spiritual babies that have been saved for 25 years. I have made up in my mind that we are discipling people, and we're gonna raise up people who know how to bind the devil, take authority over the enemy, speak the word. If you're ready to grow, open up your mouth and give God a shout in here. These folks that won't grow, you know who they are. Well, I couldn't praise the Lord today. I just couldn't praise him, you know. It didn't do nothing for me. But our worship was great today, right? Praise the Lord. But a carnal person will say, that worship just wasn't good. The word, it just wasn't great today. I wasn't feeling it. I just didn't feel it today. I didn't feel what he was preaching. See, these folks who want milk, they run on experience and they run on feelings. But can I tell you something? Praise is not something to be felt. It's something to be brought. It's something to be given. And when you give God praise, that's when things shift in your life and all of a sudden you say, when should I praise God? You should praise God when you feel like it, and you should praise God when you don't feel like it, because if you'll praise God when you don't feel like it, I guarantee you, baby, you will feel like it. Well, I wish they would sing my song. If they could sing my song, I would worship the Lord. Okay, I love you. It ain't your song. We're not trying to move you, y'all. We're not trying to move people. We're trying to move heaven into the room. We're trying to get God in the house. See, there are some of you that come in here. You don't need a microphone. You don't need somebody to get on a keyboard. You don't need somebody on the drums. When you enter in, there's already a praise in your heart. Somebody give God a shout if you're tracking with me. Well, you know, Apostle, he just wasn't preaching today. Listen, you respond to the word. Now, people in Corinth in this moment, they're trying to choose other foundations to build the church on and build their lives on. And I want to kind of uncover what's going on. When Paul writes this letter, number one, there was a spirit of elitism in the church, and this led to cliques. And there were cliques in the church because some folk thought they were better than other folk. That there were groups of people who thought they were better than other people in the church. In fact, they would have something called love feast, and they would gather together for these meals, but they would leave out the folks they didn't like. They would leave out the poor, and they would leave out the needy, and they would try to spiritualize it because they would finish all this eating and drinking to the point of getting drunk. And when they got through with the meal, they would have the Lord's Supper, and they would have communion, attempting to spiritualize their discord and division. But it was only reserved for an elite few, and they felt like they were superior in their church, and they only wanted this particular group of people here. Bottom line, some folks in the church ate and drank too much, while the poor and the needy were left hungry and humiliated. So here's what Paul said. Paul calls them right out and says, but in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because you come together and it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe that in part. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it ain't the Lord's Supper you're eating. You think you're having communion and it's the Lord's Supper? The Lord ain't even there. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another gets drunk. Come on, y'all. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? He said, you come into church trying to find your clique and your club, and you're eating and drinking and getting drunk. He said, or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. Paul rebuked them. In the end, I want to tell you, this is where I want to go. Your relationship with people, your relationship with folks around you and what you have in relationship with people will not be an adequate foundation for you to build upon. Your foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation of this church is Jesus Christ. I've been doing this for decades, and let me tell you something, baby. People come and people go. People are in your life and you think they won't ever leave, and then they go. But let me tell you, I've come to understand that even when people come and when people go, Christ remains. Hallelujah. When I was younger, I used to worry so much about the comings and goings of people. Well, my goodness. Debbie, how long you been here? 26 years? I think you're going to stay. Hallelujah. Y'all been here over 20 years? 21? John and Kim, 26? How long you been here, Jamie? 17 years? Look at the Lord. But we've had people come, and we've had people go. And the one who was supposed to stay, they stay. I don't worry about the comings and goings of people, because if they have my vision, they can't leave. And if they don't have my vision, they can't stay. I stopped a long time ago trying to talk people into staying who didn't have my vision. Because if you try to talk people into staying with you who ain't with you, they're going to torment you. I better get back on my notes. Some of y'all are tripping over who left you. Apostle, he don't even text me back anymore. She don't even call me anymore. Yeah, apostles, they don't even like my stuff on Facebook anymore. You need to stop tripping. Leave here. Go to McDonald's, get some gift certificates, run to the Walmart, get a thank you card, sign that thank you card, and say, thank you for leaving me, because I never could have got to the next level if I'd have had to drag you all the way. Sometimes you got to have the gift of goodbye. Sometimes you got to have the 10th spiritual gift, and it's see you later, alligator, in a wild crocodile. I'm building my life. You're building your life on Christ as the foundation. Open up your mouth and holler one time. Now, they were trying to build their lives on relationships. But then, the second thing that they were trying to use as a foundation, there were people within the church who were abusing the gifts, the spiritual gifts. They were trying to be super spiritual. Do you know anybody super spiritual? They got 13 of the 9 gifts. Come on, somebody. Dueling tongues and prophecies. You know, I grew up in the Pentecostal church. So we had, if you're new here, there's something called tongues. And then there's interpretation. And it's something to get in a room where you have dueling tongues and interpretation. Like there's a message in tongues and somebody stands up and gives the word. For thus saith the Lord, it is time for this pastor to move. He needs to go to another church, says the Lord. Call the rental truck today. And then somebody else gives a message in tongues, and the pastor's wife stands up and says, but the Lord would say unto you that the pastor needs to stay. That God said, listen, let me tell you, the Spirit of God does not contradict itself. Paul, they're in this situation where they're exalting the flesh. They're lifting up themselves by competing with each other in spiritual matters. And Paul said, how is it then whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. Let all things be done with edification. He said, you guys, in essence, you're spiritual babies. You're setting up cliques. You're compromising. You're suing each other. You're denying the resurrection. You're gossiping and you're immoral. And if you know people like that, they're the first one to get a word. They're the first one ready to prophesy, first one to speak in tongues, first one to see a vision, first one to give you a word in the parking lot, the first ones to set everybody straight. Let me tell you something. The gifts never exalt a man. The gifts of the Spirit never exalt a man. The gifts exalt the Savior. Christ is our foundation, and never forget, the giver is greater than the gifted or the gift. Amen? Number three, the people had been church charmed because they were exalting the messenger above the message. So they tried to build the church on relationships. They tried to build their lives on relationships. Then they said, we'll build our lives on gifts. Then they said, we'll build our lives on a preacher. Now, these people were trying to choose their favorite preacher. They were literally trying to pit the men of God against each other. And Paul corrected them and said, who is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you have believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul said, some of y'all trying to choose me. Some of you want to be Apollos. I'm of Apollos. Some said I'm of Peter. Others said I'm of Jesus. Some said I'm of this one or that one. Let me tell you something. They were trying to exalt a preacher and build their church on a preacher, and they were pitting preachers against each other. And I'm telling you, I refuse to be drawn into that fight, especially in this area. I don't have an enemy that's preaching Jesus in this entire area. If you're preaching Jesus, preacher, and you're in my area, I will never compete with you. Tomoka, I bless you. I bless Tomoka. I bless First Baptist in Daytona. Riverbend, if you're preaching Jesus and Hope Fellowship and Allen Chapel, y'all ain't saying nothing to me, and the Kojic Church and the Church of God Church, if you're up there preaching Jesus, you got a friend in Jim Raley. But if you ain't preaching Jesus, come on, somebody. See, Paul understood that he was not the foundation of the church. Christ was. Don't make any preacher the foundation of your life. Yo, I'm 60 years old, so I'll tell you, because I ain't scared to tell you. Don't make Jim Raley the foundation of your life. If you do, if you make a preacher the foundation of your life will not be built to last. As much as we need unity in the Bible, we also need to understand that we don't need to exalt preachers. And let me tell you, there's a lot of preachers that are being exalted who are not preaching the word. Can you hang with me for 30 seconds? These preachers are not preachers. They are charlatans. And they're allowed to operate unchecked. I've seen believers so church charmed and so mesmerized by the messenger that they don't check him on the message. They let him preach whatever he wants to preach. When you allow a minister to live any way and preach anything, even if it contradicts the word, and you stay submitted and connected, you, my dear friend, have been church charmed. Every preacher has to preach the truth in love. Can I say it? A while back, a bishop that everybody knows that's very famous went to an Atlanta church, went into a church that was pastored by a man who was, quote, a bishop, who was married to a bishop, and said, I want to stand up and apologize for everything I've preached concerning the LGBTQ community. And I want to tell you something. If you are in that community and you are struggling with sin, we love you. But I will never apologize for preaching the truth of God's word. He said, on behalf of the church, I want to apologize. He ain't apologizing on my behalf. Because let me tell you something. That is not a bishop in the Lord's church. And that man who is married to a man is not a bishop in the Lord's church. Where are the people that will say, preacher, you better keep it between the lines and preach the word. Preachers are not the foundation. Jesus is. Now, then Paul says something very interesting. He said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Don't miss this now. There are actually two words used here for temple. One of the words is heron, which means that the entire temple project, including the buildings, the porches, the courts, and even the Temple Mount itself. But there is another word for temple. It is the word naos. Naos means the inner sanctuary. It means the Holy of Holies. It means the place that God reveals himself to man. It's the place of miracles, the place of fellowship, the place of presence, direction, and sweet communion. It's the place of the Shekinah glory of God. And I need you to understand what Paul is saying here. He said, you are the naos of God. He's saying your life is the center of divine activity. Your life is the instrument that God uses to reveal himself to man. He said, you are not the outer court. You are not just the Temple Mount. He said, you are the place that houses the very presence of God. That means when you walk in the room, healing walks in the room with you. When you walk in the room, breakthrough walks in the room with you. Don't miss this very next verse. Paul is telling them, you are the temple of God. If you're the naos of God, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. But Paul says something very powerful here. He says, now if someone, verse 17, right after he says you are the temple, if someone desecrates God's inner sanctuary, God will desecrate him. For God's inner sanctuary is holy, and that is exactly who you are. Paul said, if you desecrate this temple, God will desecrate you. Now, what does that mean? I don't believe it means that God will always strike you dead. Lightning struck. I'm so glad that every time I sinned, y'all ain't saying nothing, that I didn't get lightning struck. Y'all better be glad. Because if that's how God moved, lightning would probably strike somewhere on your row right now. That's not how God desecrates the temple. He said, if you desecrate and dishonor this temple, I will desecrate and dishonor you. Well, you say, Apostle, how does God do it then? You know what he does? He just moves out. He just moves out of your life. He moves out of that temple, and that temple is desecrated. You know why? Because the only thing that makes you holy is the presence of God. The only thing that makes you different is the presence of God. I need somebody right now who wants to be the naos of God. Open up your mouth and give God a praise. Come on. Honey, there have been times when I didn't know what I was going to do. There have been times that I wrestled with confusion. There have been times that I have had to fight, but I had to remind myself that I am the temple of the Holy Ghost, and He dwells inside of me. That means when I go into negative places, I've got Him inside of me. That means when I go into a hard season, I got Him inside of me. That's when I, it means if I have to go to a courtroom, I got Him inside of me. That means if I have to fight for my family, I got Him inside of me. Out there are the people right now who are the nails to God. Open up your mouth and give Him praise. The very last thing that I want the Lord to do is lift His presence out of my life. I want to be the nails. I remember, because I'm going to tell you, the agendas of hell are real. That demonic work is real. I remember when my dad had had a major surgery, and they had cut him from here to here, and our little church in Winter Garden had broken out in revival, and this would have been in the probably early 70s. I'm just telling you how old I am. Come on, somebody. And people were in the altars getting saved by droves. People were getting delivered by droves. And there was a woman named Mrs. Parker. And Mrs. Parker had a lot of struggles in her life, and she had submitted herself to the enemy. And I remember being a little boy, and my dad was standing behind the altar. Yeah. And this woman, it was like she was superhuman. My dad had been praying for people, and there was several young teenage girls that he went to pray for. And he went to lay his hands on these teenage girls, and this woman started pushing his hand. And then all of a sudden, my dad reached up to try to get her. And she jumped over those girls and jumped on my dad. And my dad, he had just gotten back from major surgery, and he had a long scar right here. And she grabbed him by the hair and got her hand in that scar and started trying to tear it open. What happened was, there were some of those believers that were there when they saw it. I'm talking about people who had been in his church for a long time. Baby, they put it in B for Boogie. They got out of those altars. They ran because they were afraid that that power on her would get in them. They didn't realize that if they were saved, they were already filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And there wasn't no devil that could get it. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. How many of you understand that if you're the nails of God, if you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and He's inside of you, God ain't gonna share His place with nobody. I believe you can be oppressed. Yes, I do. I believe you can be oppressed and saved, and you can have the enemy come against you. But when you possess, baby, you are owned. I don't believe there's a devil in hell that can own a child of God that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that believes in the name. I need somebody right now who is the nails of God. Open up your mouth and give God a shout. Listen, it was a new convert who ran up by my dad. My dad said, "Give me a Bible." They gave my dad a Bible. He opened it up, and he put it on that woman's head. I'll never forget. And it was like she got shot. She went limp, because I'm telling you, there's power in the name of Jesus. He's been given a name that is high above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I feel like preaching now. And every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Every knee on the earth, every knee above the earth, and every knee beneath the earth shall bow. Let me tell you something. There's power in His name. That my dad got the word. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said, "I'll lift my word above my name, And baby, when he put that word on her head, she went limp. Devils came out of her and she got delivered. I need somebody who knows you're the nails of God. Open up your mouth and give God a shout right now. I just feel like preaching. I was going to try just to teach the whole day, but all of a sudden I feel like preaching. Because I need to know that you're a few. You need to understand. I need you to know that you are filled with the power of God. You need to stop worrying about every demon and every devil and every dark force. You say, Apostle, I see a demon behind every tree. Do you know I see seven? But let me tell you something. I'm so washed in the blood and filled with the power of God, I'm not going to sit around and worry about devils. Can I tell you what happened to me? I was in Washington, D.C., preaching in an African church, powerful. And the lights went out, completely out. Place was packed. And I was preaching with a light on my face, because I don't stop preaching. I just start hollering. And they put a light on my face. I kept right on preaching. And all of a sudden, there was a demonized woman who shouted out and slithered to the front like a snake. People were in the altars. They were being saved. They were being delivered. That the power of God had fallen. She just slithered like a snake. And I said, hey, take her right over there to that room. I'll be there in just a moment. I'm not going to interrupt this to deal with that. Just give me a moment. I'll get over there. I just wanted the devil to know that he wasn't in charge of the agenda of that service. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I wanted the devil to know that he wasn't in charge in that house, that the Spirit of God that dwelled in me was in charge. I finished the service up, went back to the room where she was. Listen, blood all in her mouth. You can't make this up. She's spitting, cussing me out. You deal with a real devil. A real devil will cuss you out. A real devil will tell you off. A real devil will come against you. A real devil will be violent. Come on, somebody. And I went in there, and she said, it's you. I said, yes, it's me. And she started saying, I'm gonna kill you. There's nothing you can do. And I'm telling you, she had bit her tongue, blood all in her mouth. It was the most demonized thing I ever seen in my life. I walked up there and I began to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. For God has not, I'm whispering, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For this corrupt must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible has been, she's writhing, has put on immortality, thus it shall come to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, Psalms 1. Blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he doth meditate both day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. And he shall bring forth fruit in his season. And whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. Psalms chapter 1, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his... She's writhing. And all of a sudden, when I say that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, all of a sudden that woman shouted, Jesus! I'm trying to tell you, when you really got power, you don't have to get in the floor and fight with them. You don't have to yell at them. You've got the power and presence of God inside of you. Somebody give God a shout if you hear what I'm saying. So my intentions are to raise up people in this church who know how to lay hands on the sick, who know how to rebuke the enemy off of your children. Come on, somebody. Who understand that people are not the foundation, because relationships come and relationships go. Folks are in your life 1 minute, and it seems like they go. There were people that Don and I started with in ministry. We thought they would be our friends forever. And my very best friend is not in the ministry anymore. And you would have thought that he would have been the one standing here pastoring this church. His wife was probably one of the greatest singers in the state. She would stand up and destroy the house, wreck the house. They're divorced, and she's now in the New Age and Wicca. You can't build your life on relationships. Don't get in cliques. Don't be divisive. Don't act like you're better than anybody else. Listen, if you're still caught up in what color somebody is, you're in the wrong church, baby. We're thankful for white people, black people, brown people. But let me tell you, the main color at Calvary is red. It's the blood. And y'all are my family. Don't build your life on relationships. Don't make relationships the foundation. The next thing you can't do is make your experience the foundation. Well, you know, if there were more gifts, if this happened, if that happened, I could. No, gifts are not the foundation. And listen, if you have a single gift in your life and it's exalting you, that's not a gift of the Spirit. Because a real gift of the Spirit only turns the light on Jesus. And listen, if you get offended, if you're not able to use your gift, can I say this in love? You're not using your gift. Your gift is using you. It's not the gift. And finally, it's not preachers that you build your life on. I remember back years ago in the 80s, the most well-known preacher, I'm not even going to say his name. There seems to be a resurgence in his life, and I give God praise for it. But he fell, and it was a horrible thing. And I know a lot of people that fell away from God. They said, if he can't live it, nobody can. Don't build your life on a preacher. Build your life on the Lord. Here's what the Bible says. Bring that text up in Isaiah. Isaiah says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, talking about Jesus, for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes. Are there any believers here tonight or today? I know that some of you here, you feel like life has been shifting. Who am I talking to? It feels like things, man, have been moving, and the enemy has tried to tell you you're not going to make it. Your family's not going to be saved. You just need to throw in the towel. But I would tell you what you need to do is just build your life on Christ. And if you'll do that, your life will be built to last. Now, I don't want anybody to move for just a moment. I want everybody to stand to your feet. Come up, Courtney. Hallelujah. Can you sing that, Christ is my firm foundation? How many of you can say, Apostle, Christ is my firm foundation? If that's you, slip up your hand and let's worship the Lord. Come on. If he's your firm foundation, somebody raise up your hands if you're building your whole world on Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Is my firm foundation.
Somebody raise up your hands if you love him today. If you want to come to the altar, if you want to give your heart to Jesus, folks are already moving out. I want you to worship the Lord. Come on, he won't fail you. Hallelujah. Nobody moving for just a moment. I'm going to release you and I want to bless you before you go. But everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. I feel like the Lord wants to touch some people today. Hallelujah. Folks are already coming to the altars and I haven't even given the call yet. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, hallelujah. If you're here today and you'd say, Apostle, I need to build my life on Jesus. I've let things get in my life. That's it, girl. Somebody give God a praise. Man, it's amazing. Hallelujah. I've been trying to build my life on wrong things with heads bowed and eyes closed. And you'd say, Apostle, when you pray for somebody, pray for me because I need to build my life on Jesus. There's sin in my life and I need to get it right with God. If that's you, when I count to three, raise your hand. Are you ready? Pray for me, Apostle. One, pray for me, Jim Raley. Two, if you're going to pray for anybody, pray for me. Three, slip up that hand right now. Hands across the room. So many have already come forward. Come on, I'm going to lend you 5 more seconds. If you need to raise your hand, raise it now. You need to walk out of here with your life built on a firm foundation. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's it. If you raised your hand and you really meant business and you're ready to build your life on Jesus, you're ready to turn your back on your own way and on sin, I want you to come to the front right now. Let me pray with you. If somebody next to you raised their hand, you move back and you let them come. Or either you get them by the hand and you bring them. But if you're ready to build your life on Jesus, somebody give God praise as they come. Somebody give God praise as they come. Somebody give God a shout as they come. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to sing. I still have joy in chaos. Y'all, you ought to give God a shout, man. People are coming to Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Listen, I bet if you'll clap, more will come. I bet if you'll rejoice, more will come to build their life on the foundation of Jesus. Folks are still getting saved. He won't. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you believe that, raise your hands and say,
He won't fail. He won't fail.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaking, I've never been more glad.
I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. Faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
I want everybody in the room to take your hand and put it on your heart right now. Hallelujah. Young people are weeping and crying up here and still coming. Y'all ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who would admit that you've been through some storms in your life? Wave at me. Somebody in the room, you're in a stormy season right now. Some of you are in a storm. Some of you are coming out of a storm. Can I say that? I declare that some of you are coming out of a storm in this next season. But here's the deal. Good weather, bad weather, storm, or calm, I built my life on Jesus. And you're here today, and in this act of coming forward, what you're saying, little daughter, is that you want to build your life on the Lord. I believe in both of you guys, all three of you. You're so pretty. What's your name? Janella. Look at these three pretty girls. You know what I see right there? I see three mighty women of God. You know what I need to do? I need to minister to you, little daughter. I'm going to talk to you like a dad. You need that in your life, don't you? You hadn't had that voice in your life in the right way. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you your future is bright. I'm going to tell you that your past doesn't hold you. How about that? I'm going to tell you that God's got a plan for your life, and you've been hurt a lot. You've been wounded, and you even walked in this building hurt. But today is a brand new beginning for you. God's about to remind you that, she said, in the name of Jesus, that he's so much greater than everything you've been through. And the Lord said he's about to turn your disappointment into an appointment. Amen. How about that? So I want you three girls to build your life on Jesus, not on relationships, not on guys, not on people that let you down. Build it on Jesus. And when you do that, it'll be built to last. What's your name? Huh? Lydia? Man, I tell you what, I like you. I just believe in you, Lydia. You've had trouble believing in yourself, hadn't you? You struggled with that. You doubted yourself. And you haven't felt good enough. But all that's going to lift off of you today. It's just got to come right off. Can I just obey the Lord a minute? That's just going to come off of you today. You're going to start building your life on Jesus, and you're not going to be so concerned about what other people say, what other people think. I just believe in Lydia, and I believe that in the name of Jesus, that God is going to start directing your path. There's some things you want to see happen, that when you start building your life on Jesus, how old are you? 18. Girl, you're just getting going. You hear me? So today I want you to give it all to the Lord. Hey, listen, you're enough. You're good enough. You're beautiful. You hear me? I'm going to say it one more time. You need to hear it. You're beautiful, okay? I'll say that over you. All right. Put your hand on your heart. Sometimes you just need to be a dad. We need more dads in the church, amen? And I want to tell you something. If you're struggling with fornication, if you're struggling with LGBTQ, if you're struggling with addiction, if you're anything you're struggling with, I love you. And I believe if you come and build your life on Jesus, anything that binds you, you can be set free. So you ready to give it all to the Lord today? Who's going to pray this prayer with Apostle across the room? Hand on your heart, raise your other hand. Pray this prayer after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please forgive me for all my sins. I've been trying to build my life, and I know now The real problem is that I was building it on wrong things. So today, right now, I make a commitment to you, Jesus. And I build my life. I build my whole world on you, Lord Jesus. I'm asking you, make me exactly what you want me to be. In Jesus' name. Now I want everybody to stretch it. Give God a praise, first of all. Now, what an amazing morning. Everybody stretch your hands toward these. Pastor Christian, are you here? Hallelujah. I want you to talk about what's next, but I want to pray over these. Stretch your hands. Real quick, talk about Wednesday night. This ain't the end. This is the beginning.
Absolutely. We have discipleship classes that are happening this Wednesday night. They begin at 6:30, run to 7:45. We have full kids ministry, full youth ministry, something for the whole family. I want to see you there. Get yourself signed up right outside the church to the left.
All right. Stretch your hands toward these. Thank you, Pastor Christian. Love you, son. Lord, I pray you will bless these precious people who are making you the center and the foundation of their lives. I give you praise that from this day forward, this is a new beginning and they will never be the same again. Now, everybody else, raise up your hands. I bless you this week. I send you forth with the knowledge that you are the naos of God. I declare that you are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, that because of that, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, that this is your week of victory. Did you want to say something, babe?
Amen. Yes. I want to just let all of the watchmen know this is the year of the watchmen. We have over 400 people who are part of this prayer movement, and we gather every Tuesday at noon, and normally we are in here in the sanctuary. This Tuesday, we will be in the Kids Center. There is a memorial service for Joanne Ballard. She is actually in heaven with Jesus this morning with Mac. And so that will be happening in here that morning. And so just in case it bleeds over the noon hour, we're going to meet in the Kids Center. And it's never a bad thing to pray over our children
as
well. Amen?
That's it.
So join us there, all the watchmen. If you have not signed up, if you're new to the church and you didn't get a chance to sign up to be a watchman, but you want to grow in prayer and be a part of prayer, join us this Tuesday, noon in the Kids Center.
All right. So all you altar workers go to help these. If you have a need in your life and you want prayer, our altar workers will be here. Listen, let me brag on you. Thank you for not walking out while Jesus is moving. How many of you are glad you came to church today? If you're visiting with us, I want to meet you in the back. God bless you.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time? And so you can give at calvaryfl.com, you can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.